Okay. Well, it's here. This is my last Sunday of preaching. Next week at the celebration, I won't be officially teaching anything. Other people will be sharing. I don't want to think about that too much. Otherwise, it just seems too weird, right, to think about that. It's hard to believe. It's been 30 years. The time has gone by. I don't know about you, but the time has gone by very quickly. It doesn't seem that long ago that we have first arrived here. I don't feel old, but what I do feel is mostly grateful and thankful to be able to be a part of this church family for all these years and the blessings that that has brought and how we have grown together in the Lord. And for that, I am so thankful for. Through it all, the Lord has been good to us. Good to us as a family, good to us as a church family, because that is who He is. As we talked about last week, God is good. He's been faithful. He's been true. He will be with us as we go in different directions. And that's the confidence and that's the hope that we have, because He calls us to the same mission. He calls us to be a people who keep our eyes upon Him. He calls us to be a people who walk by faith. He calls us to people who love God, who love people, and to make Him known to others. And as we go, we will continue that on, as I trust you will continue that on as well, because that is what we are to be about. I have always enjoyed coming before you and sharing God's truth, because I have always felt you're a body of believers that wanted to hear the truth, and you wanted to hear from God's Word. And so I always look forward to coming and presenting that to you. However, it is impossible for me to summarize in one last sermon here our 30 years of ministry, so I'm not even going to try to do that. But instead, I'm going to continue on in what I talked about a couple weeks ago, this little series on attributes of God. And I want to hopefully open up just a little bit more another attribute of God that you are very familiar with and know so well. But hopefully, I'll just shed a little more light on it. Than before, and helping us in our continuing relationship with our awesome and great God. You know, as I thought about it, in a sense, we have been spoiled by being able to be here for 30 years in one church family to raise our children up. It's a blessing that we never expected when we came here as newlyweds in 1988 and never thought, yeah, I'll probably stay around for about 30 years. My commitment, I remember when I came here, so I'm going to be here at least 5 years. I said, I don't think it's fair to college students to not be here at least 5 years, because at that time, the average was 2 years for a youth person. So I said, no, I'm going to be here at least 5 years. So at least I made that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all your prayers that only God knows the difference and how that has helped us in our ministry here. The prayers for our children. And I'm so thankful for our children. They'll all be here. The grandchildren will be here next week. And that's just going to be an awesome time together. There's going to be 11 of us in our little home. So better forget sleep. I'm glad I'm not preaching, because I'm probably going to be exhausted. But it'll be wonderful with them. Now, I don't think you're probably surprised when I share this, that this week, as I was preparing, as I was thinking about how what attributes to look at, I started thinking about just various stories in the Scriptures that focus on the attributes of God. And I thought of my favorite story. And as I thought about that story, I thought, well, I think you're going to do something different than a normal sermon today. Because the best way to look at a story is to tell the story. And the best way to tell the story is to be a character in the story. And so in my favorite story, I want to be a character in that story this morning. It's a story that takes place in the context of a family. And as you know, a family is a high priority for me. But it's even a higher priority for our God. He created us in families. I believe the breakdown in the family is the great tragedy in our country. And so families are important to God. And so I want to do that. So I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to let one of the family members take it from here. So I'm going to just do a quick onstage change. I'm just going to put a robe on. You know, I just feel, you have to entertain me. I just feel, even though, well, you look the same, Don, I think it's important to change your outfit a little bit. I'm going to mess up my hair. I'm going to take off my glasses just to help us enter into the character a little bit, even though that's still Don. Looks like him, sounds like him, but you know how it goes. Let's just entertain me, okay, this one last time. Rich's going to turn off my mic for a second so it doesn't make a bunch of noise when I change here. So it's just going to take a second, okay? So I'm going to do that now. Your change. This is what I do in the back room when normally. No, I don't need help. Thank you. Elf Dwayne, not that old. Come on. He's just trying to be helpful. Okay, now for the big change. It's messing up my hair a little bit. I don't have any mirror. I don't know how bad this looks, but we'll just call that good, okay? Okay. Good morning. I know it is common practice in your culture that when you introduce yourself, you introduce yourself by sharing your first name. I'm not going to do that today. The reason I'm not going to do that today is because this story that Jesus told, of which I am a part of, he didn't share my name. Didn't share any of the names of our family members that I'm going to talk about. So I didn't think it was right for me to add my name to the story because my name is not important. That's not the key of this story. But as your pastor shared, this story is about a family, my family, and specifically three characters in our family. Myself, who is the younger brother, my older brother, and my father. Those are the three that Jesus identified in this story that he told. Now, my father was a hard worker. He was one that did well for himself. He had quite a few hired hands. He had accumulated a decent amount of property, and we as his sons worked, helped him with the working of that property. Now, if you were to ask my father or ask my older brother, they would tell you that I was the dreamer in the family. Ever since I was a little guy, I just had thoughts of what it'd be like out there in this amazing world. What it'd be like beyond our property and to go out there and to explore and to experience the world. And as I grew up, as typically when people grow up, things change. But things really didn't change for the better with regard to this. You see, my dream turned into an obsession where I just wanted to get out there. I wanted to experience what the world had to offer. And as you know, when something obsesses you, you become obsessive about something, it tends to take control of you. Now, I still did my day's labor, and I didn't forsake that, but my mind would be about that big world out there and all that it had to offer. But there was a problem, I mean, being able to go out there and experience it. And the problem was that my father, though he had done quite well, all his wealth, in a sense, his resources were tied into his land. And so there wasn't much available for us. And so I didn't have much resource available to go and to experience this world. And I became frustrated with that. And I started, as I kept thinking about this, and as you know, when something is obsessive and is taking control of you, it starts to cloud your thinking. And you don't reason as well as you should. And you start coming up with ideas that are not good ideas. And that's what I started doing, because I just wanted out of here. I wanted to go into the world and my senses to become alive. You see, I was young, and now's the time to do things like this. My father was a healthy man. Who knows how long he was going to be around? And, you know, my inheritance, it could be a long time before I see that. And I want to experience it now. I was a typical younger person who you want it yesterday. And so I began to mull over in my mind, what could I do? How could I solve this problem? And then it hit me. And I began to grow in my courage. No, courage isn't the right word. That sounds good. It wasn't good. I grew in my foolishness. And I came up with the idea to go to my father and to ask him for my inheritance now. I know how bad that sounds. It doesn't sound bad. It is bad. It's a terrible thing to do. It is an awful, horrific act to go to your father and say, I want my inheritance now. But you know what? I didn't care because I was obsessed. And I just wanted to go out into that world. And so I went to him in boldness, in foolishness, and in selfishness. And I asked him. I basically almost told him, Father, I would like my inheritance now. So I want to go out into the world and experience it. Now you can imagine what I was expecting. I was expecting a little pushback. Like, what are you talking about? An argument with me. Or maybe just even to say, how dare you even ask that? Get back to work. No, I'm not going to do that for you. That's ridiculous. But he didn't do any of that. You know what he did? He looked me in the eye. And he said, if that's what you want, then you can have your inheritance. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking that because he just said that so quickly that it was easy for him. I could see the look in his eyes. I saw the pain. I saw his hurt. I saw his disappointment. But for some reason, he gave in to my demand. And at that point, I didn't care how my dad felt. All I wanted was my wish granted, and I got it. And so I quickly left him, and I went to work on gathering all my things together. My dream, my obsession was now going to be fulfilled. It only took me a couple of days to get everything together, and then I was off, leaving my father, my family, my brother who didn't want to see my face. He was furious with me, but I was off into a new world. It was a long journey to this foreign land. And I'll be honest with you, it was wonderful for a season. Extravagant living, exotic foods, women, friends I'd never had before wanted to hang out with me. Oh, it was wonderful. Until the funds ran out. And then so did my friends. And so did the pleasures. They all ran out. And I found myself alone in a foreign land with no family around, with no place to call home because I had sold out on my home. And then a famine hit. It's difficult enough to find work in a foreign land where no one knows you, where you have no friends. But it becomes almost impossible to find work when a severe famine hits the land. People's most of their income was on the land. And so I was literally starving to death, trying to find work to pay just to put food in my stomach. And then finally I found one man who was willing to hire me for a job. I don't know if you could really call it much of a job, but he asked me to go and gave me the job of going into his fields and feeding his pigs. It didn't even pay enough for a full meal. I could buy a little food, but I basically was hungry and starving every day. And after a while of this happening, you know what took place is I became envious. Envious of the pigs. Because they had all the food they wanted. As I fed them this slop, this garbage, and they filled their guts with it. And I was there looking at that longing to be able to fill my stomach with some food. It was then that it hit me. You're familiar with the phrase, sometimes you have to hit bottom before you ever look up. Well, that was my life. I had hit bottom. And as I was sitting there starving, it hit me what I had done. How I let temptation get the best of me, and it turned into sin. And you know what sin does? Sin destroys. Sin isolates us. It destroyed my relationship with my family. It isolated me to where I was all alone. I mean, sin, when we sin, it's all about us. Sin is purely selfish. And I was living that out. And I finally recognized that and owned up to it. And then I thought to myself, well, my father's hired hands, they have more than enough food every day. I should just go back, and I'm not worthy to be a son anymore, but just to be hired on by my father, at least I could get a full meal every day. And so I determined that's what I was going to do. And I determined what I would say to my father when I arrived. I would acknowledge my sin before heaven and before him, that I wasn't worthy to be called a son. And if you would just hire me as one of the hired hands, that's all I ask. It was a long journey back home, what I hoped was going to be my home. But there was a problem with that long journey. The problem is it gives you lots of time to think. And the more I thought, the more anxious I became. What is going to happen? How is my father going to respond to me? Would he even let me see him? Would he even call me his son? Maybe he would just send one of his servants out and say, "Get off my property. I don't even know who you are." Because he had the right to do that for what I did to him. And so the more I thought about it, the more anxious I became. And then soon I started to recognize the landscape. I knew I was getting close. My stomach began to churn that much more. What is going to happen? How will I be received? I'm so unworthy. I came to the property, which is now half the property. I started making my way in. And then in the distance, I saw someone running towards me, with several people behind him. I was like, who is that? And as he came closer, I saw it was my father. I looked to see if there's any weapons in his hands. And I then became fixed on his face. I wanted to see the expression on his face. What kind of reception was he going to give me? And as he finally started getting close enough where I can make it out, I couldn't believe what I saw. He was smiling. He looked genuinely happy. And as he got closer, I could see the tears in his eyes. And he ran up to me and he embraced me with everything he had. It was the most powerful and meaningful embrace I've ever had in my life. Because I was so unworthy of it. And he just held me. And he was weeping, and I was weeping. And in that moment, it was bringing healing to my heart. And we just held each other for minutes gone by. And then finally, I got the courage, and this time it was courage. And I stepped back for a moment, and I looked my father in the eye. He said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son." And before I could get another word out, he interrupted and he turned to his servants who had followed him and said, "Get the best robe and put it on him. And get the ring and put it on his finger, the family ring. And get shoes for him to wear. And go kill the fattened calf, because we are going to celebrate. This son of mine who was dead is now alive. The son of mine who was lost is now found." What kind of love is this? I didn't deserve any of it.
I deserve my father's scorn. I deserve to be rejected by him. Because of my sin and my selfishness, half his property is gone to other people. Because of my sin and selfishness, I caused daily sorrow, pain, and hurt in his heart. And I knew that. I didn't even deserve to be a hired hand. And here is my Father taking me in and restoring me. What kind of love is this? Well, this is the love of the Heavenly Father. This is the love He has for His children. His love and His grace. You see, I believe this parable that Jesus told is improperly labeled in your Bibles. It usually has a caption above it. And it's usually entitled, The Parable of the Prodigal Son. That's the wrong label. The hero of the story is a father. This parable is about the loving and gracious God. That's what this parable is about. He is the hero. Because he receives one who was so unworthy, who had done nothing to deserve what he gave me. And this is a grace that most of the world cannot embrace, cannot accept. As illustrated in the story by my older brother. You see, when the celebration had begun, my brother would have nothing to do with it. He refused to go in. My father found out about it and went out to my brother, implored him to come to celebrate. To which my brother responded to him, How many years have I worked for you? I have always obeyed your commands, always done what you have asked. And yet, never once have you even sacrificed a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. And here is this son of yours, he didn't even call me his brother, who has squandered your property through prostitutes, and when he returns, you slaughter the fattened calf for him? You see, my brother represents living under the law. Where living under the law is you have to earn it. You have to be worthy of it. You have to deserve it. And there is no grace under the law. Either you cut it or you don't. And you have to prove yourself worthy. My father explained to him that everything of mine is already yours. But your brother, who was lost, is now found. He was dead, but now he's alive, and we want to celebrate that. You see, the world and evil will try and tempt you to think like my brother. When you sin, and when you sin again, and you're repeating sin in an area of your life, my brother, those thoughts of the law will say, you're not worthy. Don't you dare come before God. He won't have anything to do with a slime ball like you. You call yourself a child of his. Look at what you've done. You see, the truth, you are like me. We're all like me. None of us is worthy of any blessings from God. Scriptures make it clear, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all struggle. And if you think for a moment that the reason you're blessed is because you have earned it, because you have proved yourself worthy, you're wrong. Every blessing is out of the love and grace of God. You don't deserve any of it. You are just like me.
And the more we understand that, the more powerful His love will be in your heart. The more meaningful His loving embrace will be to you, because you have done nothing to deserve it. And you never will. It doesn't mean we don't want to live for Him, but not to earn His love. Like my older brother, God said, you have it all. When we come to know God through Christ, He loves us completely and unconditionally. There's no more ways He can love us, even when we sin. You see, and when we sin, it's like me, we walk away from God. God doesn't leave, but He lets us go, doesn't He? He lets us sin because He wants us to come freely to Him. And as soon as you come to the point like I did of recognizing what you have done and you repent of it and turn back to God, He is right there and His loving arms wrap around you. He never left you. He's just welcome home. You are my child. You always have been. Yes, I give you freedom to do what you want. But when you're ready to come back, I will be here in my love and my grace because you've never earned it. And you know how I squandered half my father's property? What have we cost our Lord by our sin? We have cost Him something far greater. Him sacrificing His only Son to die for you and for me. We can never repay Him for that. He doesn't ask us to repay Him. But He asks us to come to Him in faith. And when we do, those loving arms wrap around us. And He says, welcome home. My friends, if you are wandering like I was, and that's where you are right now, you need to know something. Maybe you're not even ready to turn from that. And I'm continuing to go this path. But I want you to know, as soon as you decide to turn back to Him, He will be there for you in love and in grace, because that is who our God is. It doesn't mean there's not consequences for our sins. Certainly there are, and I experience them in my life, and you will experience them in your life. But His love and His grace will always be there for you when you turn back to Him. And I want to encourage you. This is the reason we have hope. This is the message we have to share with the world. The world thinks you have to earn it, you have to deserve it, and we need to tell them no. You just need to come to Him in faith in His Son, and you are received in love and in grace because you don't deserve it, and you never will. Let the love of God overwhelm you and His grace. That's the story of this parable, the parable of our loving and gracious God. So I want to encourage you from here on out, the next time you come across this parable, maybe in your Bibles, cross out the prodigal son. I am not the hero. I am not the focus. It is our great Father who is the focus. And write in, my gracious and loving God. That's what this parable is about. He is our hero. He is the one we trust in. He is our hope. And He is a hope for humanity. That is the good news we have to share. Because each and every one of us is a prodigal. And each and every one of us, when we turn to the Father, will be embraced and taken in unconditionally. I didn't have to prove anything to my Father. I just had to come back. And His love and His grace was there. How well do you know the love and the grace of God? It is available every moment of our life. And let those that you know that do not yet know Him know that this is who your God is and how wonderful He is. May I pray for you? Father, God, I thank You. Lord, we cannot fully comprehend, and we never will. Maybe in heaven we'll finally get it, the magnitude of Your love, the magnitude of the grace that You show us. I mean, we are used to being around sin. We experience sin in our own life. We are not perfect, and so that's what we're used to. And yet you are perfect and holy and good and eternal and loving and gracious. And we cannot really grasp all of that this side of heaven. Father, I pray. I pray for any here who may be or are hesitant to come to you because of their sin and thinking that, no, I've got to prove myself. I've got to earn it. And how that's a lie. That is not living under the who you are, the loving and gracious God. And so I pray. I pray for those that they will see this truth and believe in who you really are. And you want to wrap your loving arms around them. Father, I pray for those who have loved ones who don't yet know. And God, maybe use this parable about you to help them have that heart and to be able to share the good news maybe in a little different way. Father, forgive us if we are acting like the older brother, holding people to the law, making people think they have to be worthy, they have to earn it, when we don't want that towards us, toward you, towards us. God, help us not to project that upon other people. God, you died for all. The good news is for all. Oh Lord, open our hearts anew. Just a little more. Maybe grasp of your love and your grace. And thank you for your loving embrace. That we belong to you. A family we don't deserve to be a part of. And yet you let us in. You never reject us. God, I praise and I thank you for that. May this church move forward in love and in grace. May this church be a light in this community that lets the world know, this community know, that Jesus, you died for them. And your grace is free. It cost you greatly, but it's free to all who come to Jesus in faith. God, empower this church to go forth from here and to share the good news of what an awesome Father you are. And we pray these things all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing My Savior, My God.
I am not skilled to understand His word and day. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of Him to be my Savior. That He would leave His place on high and come for sinful men to die. You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God is always gonna be. Yes, living, dying, let me bring my strength, my solace from the spring, that He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior. that he would leave his place on high and come for sinful men to die. You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves me.
Father, we love you. We thank you that you are the one that lives forever. And we have you with us every step of the way in this journey. And I thank you for that. God, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for these years together. I thank you for the privilege and honor of being able to present your word. And God, may your word continue to be preached here. For your glory and for your honor. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray this. Amen.